Today's program has been brought to you by Many Kitchens, the one-stop shop for all things foodie. Discover the best artisanal foods that America has to offer. Shop for more at manykitchens.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, everyone?
Happy 2014.
Yeah, same. I was going to say, I didn't get a different intro on it. Anyway, it's Nothing Urgent with Derek Evers and Chris Robbins. Coming to you with our first, you said 2013, I think, didn't you?
I said 2014,
all right, damn. Coming with our first episode of 2014. How was your New Year's, Chris?
It was good. I, you know, stayed home and played cribbage. It was fine. What did you do?
I thought I hung out with you. But I guess not. I guess it was your clone. And then I had an Irish goodbye. You got mad at me.
What's your favorite moment of the polar vortex right now that's enveloping?
Sitting in my underwear on my couch and not having to deal with it except for listening to people on Twitter.
Is your place that hot that you can do that?
Oh, my God. When it gets really cold like this, my apartment is at least 10 degrees hotter. And then it's funny, when it's like in the 50s or 40s, like a nominal temperature, the heat doesn't kick on that much. So it's actually colder when it's like a moderate day.
My room doesn't have any heat. So...
that's why you're wearing like so many layers. You don't look your spelt self right now.
Yeah, but all the rats are frozen outside, so that makes me happy.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about them when you're...
Yeah.
Well, we're kicking it right off today because we have two great guests. Well, three great guests. One is a band. They're two members. We're here with Ton Starnsband. Am I saying that right?
I usually say Ton Starts Band.
Without the T? The T is silent at the end?
Ton Starts Band.
I thought I said it. I don't know.
Anyway.
No one's sure.
Edwin and Andy...
And then we have Morgan Fox of the Marijuana Policy Project joining us later.
And he'll be calling in at 7. We have a lot of interesting questions for him. But with you guys, I just wanted to bring up something really quick. How often do you get... No, I don't want to ask you about your name. But, because that's got to be the... My this is usually when I'm talking to someone about a common question like that.
Drop it.
Interview over.
My question would be, how like tiresome is that?
Whatever. It's exhausting. Oh, it's totally fine.
But where are you guys now? Because everyone always says Florida Brothers, but you guys are up here, aren't you?
Well, we're finally like back in New York together. It's like we grew up in Florida, and then the band kind of started though when we were both in one in New York and one in Montreal. So it was like hard to like figure out where we kind of what our thing was. So we just say like brothers from Florida. Because if you say Montreal, they'd be like, oh, they're Canadian. And then it'd be like, no, actually, we don't even have Canadian passports, and we're not Canadian at all, but it's a chill place. And then, like, New York didn't feel right because we were just, like, new to New York and, like, I don't know. But now it's, like, I've lived here for, like, almost 9 years, and Andy has lived here twice. He's on his second run now. We'll see how long he stays for.
Yeah. I've been here for, like, a month.
but you guys are, like, Florida men now, which means that you, like, pull out a pistol whenever someone doesn't give you the right amount of chicken nuggets in the drive-thru.
Well, I mean,
it's radio show, so you can't see, but I'm actually fully nude right now.
He looks great.
We don't have our concealed weapons licenses yet, or even our guns that we've been meaning to buy for years now. We keep talking about it, but we don't have them yet.
Members of our family do, you know.
Right.
All over the country do.
What part of Florida are you from?
We grew up in Orlando.
Okay. What's that like? Like you know, how Orlando, what was it, like Universal Studios or whatever, like that was always the holy grail for me. I'm from Virginia.
Tight.
And that would be like a like an exotic sort of like, oh, like palm trees and like
dolphins.
It was
totally sick, honestly.
Was
like,
it?
You live like, the theme parks are like outside of town, so you don't grow up like in like a theme park. Like there's like a regular city and metropolitan area with like lakes and skyscrapers and all that shit and like old neighborhoods and suburbs and everything. But like 20 minutes out of town, there's like Wonderland. And when you're a kid, it's fucking fun, and you like go. I've been to a Disney World like 100 times.
So, but it never got old. Is what I'm saying. Like,
no,
it,
I mean, eventually,
the luster
like,
never died for you.
Yeah, I mean, Orlando City proper, outside of the parks, is as average or normal as any like, you know, somewhat boring medium sized city in the United States. And you know, plenty of kids come from those and find their jollies and have a good time, grow up well.
But yeah, it's warm all the time, and there's tons of palm trees, and like, it's fine.
Little known secret, it's not really a secret, but my uncle. Is, you know, he's like a 60-something-year-old man. Still loves Disney World to this day. and would go there all the time if he wants to. Not in a creepy way, but in like a very like nostalgic type of way. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I like it. I'm a big fan of just like amusement parks in general. So you know, I would love to spend.
They're crazy as hell, man. Disney does it well.
I'm a big fan of 3D or like those like when you sit in a theater and like 3D things are coming at you.
I believe it's called 4D.
So were you a big fan of
that's the real
Back to the Future ride was always really sick.
Yeah. Okay, this will be the last story about this, but it was Universal Studios Florida. We went, which I know is different than Disney World, right? That's
totally.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, Universal versus Disney.
Right.
TM. Copyright. We gotta throw that in there, I think. But we so we went there. This was when I was a little kid, and the Jaws ride had just opened, and we were like super psyched, and we went on it, and it was super fun and really kind of scary. Like this fake shark comes out and jumps out at you. So like the next week, we told my aunt and uncle, we're like, you gotta go check this out. They went there, and it totally wasn't there.
What do you mean?
Oh, it must have been in the last couple of years then. They've revamped Amityville, which is a Jaws land in Universal Studios. I read the OrlandoSentinel.com every day. They keep me updated on this.
Nice, nice.
They just closed that down a couple of years ago, I think. And they're turning it into, I believe, a second Harry Potter-style land. Because the original Harry Potter land is in Islands of Adventure, which is also owned by Universal Studios, TM. And they're moving a new land into the old TMI. Universal Studios park. But yeah, they just shut it down, man.
Man, you really... Really read the trades, huh?
OrlandoSentinel.com.
He reads the Orlando
sensationalist
paper
bullshit
every day
PPC website, but right. You know
they'd be like, dude, did you read the Orlando paper today? And I'd be like, nope. You have to tell me what it said.
You're not gonna believe what Dwight Howard said.
Well, then you're tied in. That's like my the same uncle. He now lives in the Villages, and they have their own. They have their own like.
Have you visited him in the Villages?
I have. That is a very.
I've still never been there.
We talked about that last time. It's a very surreal atmosphere. You kind of expect it to be very Stepford. Like it seems normal, but you expect everyone to be like Stepford Wives behind the scenes. You know, it's kind of they're all like.
The Villages had a really insane chlamydia breakout a few years ago.
Yeah, I remember that was the one. We mentioned
I think
that a few times as well.
Yeah.
So now you're in Brooklyn. You're adjusting to the polar vortex?
I've lived in Montreal for like the last 6 years.
Montreal is a polar vortex this is for about 4 months.
It's interesting to be in Brooklyn and experience the frigid
pain.
That's
cool.
You know,
it's cool to feel it here. It's weird. But like even I was sort of like, I already felt this shit 4 years ago when I lived in Montreal for a year. It's just like, I haven't even broken my record. Montreal still holds it. It's like minus 30 or something.
Where it's like, you go outside.
Like actually minus 30.
It's so cold and just painfully freezing that you literally start laughing. But it's like an uncontrollable laughter.
And it's like
someone's
that
like, get inside,
like,
get
it's
inside.
Like that for like weeks. Like, it's cool.
I mean, I love Montreal, but that was the one thing. It's definitely a cold place. Because then you look it on a map, and it's like kind of equal with like Sweden or something like that, right? It's up there.
It's not even as far north, just because of the layout. Like Vancouver's further north than Montreal. You know, Vancouver's all temperate. You want to get really far north. Our friends from Edmonton in Alberta, that place is just like stupidly far north.
I've never. Oh man. So wait. Well, I ask this every time. We won't talk about hockey. Anyway.
we don't know anything about it. Anyways.
Thank God.
So all right, you guys are in Montreal. I'm assuming that's where you guys met up with Dirty Beaches.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the reason why I bring that up because he's been on the show before.
Oh, cool.
And how did the Russian trip come about?
Edwin and I have been going to Russia once a year for the last 3 years, and the first time we got hooked up with that was. It was really funny. We were actually...
It's really weird.
We were on... It was 2010, and we were on our like first U.S. tour with Run DMT, and we got an email from a kid... Or no, we didn't even get an email. What we saw, like Googling our band name, which is very easy to Google if you spell it correctly, there's no
messed
up results.
That's the hard part. Yeah.
If you get it spelled right, you'll always find something about your band.
Which now I know how to. I'm proud of that fact.
Me too.
We started seeing kids in Russian live journals being like, "Tom Stars Band, this is the best, they're the greatest," and like making like really sick fan art, and it was just like, "Holy shit, this is crazy!" And then we saw these same kids in like their live journal circle. We're like, "Here's the post: their Tom Stars Band's playing like April something 2010." We're like, "We're not going to Russia. We haven't spoken to anyone about this." And the kids were like, "Yeah, it's gonna be so sick." And then like the day the show came, we were like in the States watching this happen like on our computers, and. Someone said, we like translated from Cyrillic, and there's like, they canceled. They didn't come. And we were like, yeah, that's pretty funny. And then, like, a month or two later, we got an email from a kid who was like, we'd like to actually bring you to Russia. Sorry, your last gig got canceled. And we were like, I don't know what that is, but whatever. And it turned out that there was a kid who told all his friends that we were playing, who liked us, got all his friends into us, and then lied to them and said that we got drunk at the Berlin airport on the way to Russia and missed our flight, even though we'd never been in contact with them. Never even
he
been
told
to
them this at the show after the opening bands had already played, and he was like, guys, I'm on the phone with them. They missed their flight. And they're like, no, fuck. Well, that's so classic and like funny, but that really sucks. And they're like, ah, fuck, fuck.
It's like the Russian Tom Starks band. It's like the Russian version of like a Michael Cera movie, but you guys were like supposed to like show up and then save the kid's like existence.
But
you know?
It was
like,
cool.
Like all the girls were probably like looking at him, and he was like, "Let me get him on the phone. Let me get him on the phone." And then you guys, you know, you should have like kicked in the door right then and been like,
"Yeah." Well, we finally got in touch with his friends afterwards, and they were like, "We want to actually bring you here." And then when we told them what had actually happened, because they were still under the illusion that we were supposed to come, and we missed it. We were like, "No, man, your friend never talked to us ever. He totally lied to you." They were like, "We're gonna have to kill him." And we were like, like, you're joking, right? And they're like, no, man, we're Russian. We're gonna kill this kid.
They said he moved to, like, either, like, Murmansk.
They said he moved to Murmansk.
Yeah, which is...
He couldn't face it.
Like, Murmansk.
That's the Edmonton of Russia.
It's, like,
way on the other...
Up on the White Sea or something. I don't know. Arctic Sea. What do you call it?
It's up on that little...
It's, like, where that fucking submarine sank, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah,
the nuclear one? It's, like, on the Arctic. It said he moved away, and they were like, yeah, we don't know anymore, but he's sort of a liar, so this actually all makes sense now. And then they were like, but as much as he's a fucking asshole and that sucks and we're really mad at him, they're like, it's beautiful because if it wasn't for him, none of us would know who you were.
Yeah, and now you guys had a little, you know, I don't want to say little, you had a following there and you had a reason to be able to come back.
Yeah. And then
real close
we had
friends,
told,
amazing people that fucking just bring us back every year, and we, it's like a reunion, you know, we get off the plane and everyone's there and we fucking chill.
Nice,
so
nice.
Alex was like, tell me how that happened. I really like love to make that happen one day. And when we told them, they were like, yeah, let's do this. And Alex is really open to flexibility with like guarantees and schedules and accommodations. We're like, it's not going to be what you're used to. And he was like, let's do this. And he was really awesome. It was
especially
great
getting to go to a place that, I mean, you probably don't get to go to that often as a musician, you know what I mean?
And it's just like, kind of hard to get there.
Yeah. And there's still, I mean, now it seems like as the divide between, you know, countries is growing again, it seems like it might only get harder.
Yeah. I remember Obama and Putin met like last year and publicly were like, we're going to scale back the visa requirements, which is good for us because Ed and I have spent many sleepless nights working on our visa applications and early mornings at the fucking embassy trying to get our visas in. Yeah. And then after they said that they were going to make the visas easier to get, they kind of were like, bro, you got to chill out on gay marriage. And Putin was like, don't fucking tell me to do that. And then they split again, you know?
So, well, you brought up gay marriage. I'm not going to ask you about that, but do you guys have, since we are going to talk marijuana reform later, do you guys have a personal stance on that?
Sounds good to me.
I thought you said you were against it.
Yeah, I'm actually rabidly against the legalization of marijuana.
Just because you
It's not even, that joke isn't even funny. I don't know why I say it.
Yeah, it's like, it's my facetious asshole brother, Andy.
I like to lie a lot.
We said we would all only speak the truth. Remember? Yeah. We made a bond.
And I promised to tell 3 lies.
That's true. Fuck.
See? Well, that's the truth. So that's not a lie. That's
man,
the truth.
Reality is fucked up.
So wait, who's the older brother?
I'm older by 2 years.
All right. What is that? I mean, like, okay, the second most annoying question probably to you is, what's it like touring with your brother? But I want to, when you tour with a band, you obviously get, like, angry and, like, you know, there's always a lot of, like, tension and stuff like that. Are you guys, like, Oasis or anything? Like, do you guys, like, get in fights when that shit happens?
No.
No. I don't think we've gotten in, like, a bad fight in, like...
It's, like, high school, probably.
10 years or something? I don't know.
What was the last bad fight about, if I may...
I remember exactly what happened.
I don't remember, but it was my fault.
It was right before you went to
sorry
college, dude. You were 18 and I was 16. I don't remember what it was about, but I remember how it went down. We were like at each other's throats all day for something, some stupid, who knows. We were probably just in bad like moods, you know, teenage, puberty, all that. And we started shouting and you were like, fuck you! And there was a gigantic candle on our kitchen table that our next door evangelical neighbors had dropped off on our doorstep like, you should come to our church gathering tomorrow. It's going to be at our house. It's going to be a lot of people, a lot of candles. It's not weird at all, so don't worry. Just come. And I remember I grabbed the candle, which was about the size of a football, and I raised it up, and I said, I'll break your face, motherfucker. And I swung at Ed, and Ed ducked, and I, like, fell as I swung. And our friend Jamie was there just watching it, and he was like, dude, you guys need to chill out. And that was the last thing that happened.
Sorry.
And then I apologized for what I said to him, and I told him later that I couldn't even break his face if I wanted to. And I don't think we've had a really big fight since then.
Because you couldn't break my face if you wanted to.
I'm faster and stronger than Ed. This has been verified.
Although, it's very interesting, though, the way this all just went down. Because I feel like that's the way it is in most sibling I don't want to say rivalries, just relationships. The younger sibling generally remembers the details, and then the older one's like,
I feel remorse though. I mean, I don't remember it, and that's my fault. But I also am sort of just like, whatever he's gonna say, I feel so bad about, and I was definitely a jerk for so long. I fucking love you, man.
And I took advantage of that as well when I was younger, because I'm the younger child, and the parents look out for the younger child, and you know. I can't remember, this is the thing where it gets murky for me, is I can't remember the times where Ed was like, I didn't do that, and I'm like crying, like, Ed hit me, or Ed bit me, but he probably didn't, I'm probably just being a little bitch.
Anyways, we don't fight on tour, but we definitely both get in, like, your own, like, I'm a young adult male, like, depressed modes, or, like, just, like, tired modes, and it's just sort of, like, withdrawn, but, like, we don't, like, blame it on the other
guy. Is it, like, periods? Do you get them at the same time?
No.
What is a period?
Okay, last brother question, though. What about... when you're on the road, well, I don't know. I don't know what your personal situations are with females or males. You know, hey. But I'm wondering, do you guys ever fight or do you not fight? Sorry, is there ever like the same girl that you guys want to get with or anything like that?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's ever happened ever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why, but I don't think that's ever actually come across.
I like them, you know, real big, and it's more like a little lady kind of guy.
And that's the second lie of the show.
We got one more lie on the horizon. Now, you guys are playing tonight at Silent Barn.
No.
Yes. That's the third
That's
one.
That's the
all
third
right.
lie.
So, all right. He's empty. Let's seek
you
truth.
Lies.
We're playing at Silent
Shoot
Barn.
Blanks.
We have to leave in like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yes. And then we'll be having Morgan Fox from the Marijuana
Policy Project.
I always forget what the second P is about. I know marijuana policy, but then I'm like, what's the other P? But you guys are playing one of the 285 Kent farewell shows.
Yes. It's the next Friday or Saturday?
No, it's Saturday
the 17th.
Friday the 17th. Dan Deacon's playing, Dog Dick's playing, Humans. I only just saw the lineup yesterday, and I wasn't told, so I'm probably leaving someone off. But it's like 7.
There is a secret guest. Do you know who the secret guest is?
I wish I did. I don't.
I don't know either. I don't even know we're playing.
That's a fourth lie right there.
I don't know who it is.
I wish I knew who it was. It'd be sick if it was Sophia Blath.
Yeah, but it won't be.
It really won't be. He's in California.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I was just thinking it'd be a good vibe, right? Dead Nick in Baltimore.
You weren't supposed to tell any lies. You said this whole time.
I said it would be cool. It was a wish.
Oh, all right.
It was a wish.
Maybe it'll be Future Islands.
I just said it seems like we're getting bigger than Jesus.
They made an announcement today, right? Didn't they?
Although they're playing Bowery. That's it is sold out. Anyway, sorry.
I heard about
now. Now we're speculating right now. Now we're speculating about other bands that aren't here.
Yeah, we're playing to buy tickets. Last time Tom Sertz plays at 285.
Yeah, that's what people should. You know what?
Do you remember when you guys played?
They
Impos's
played
Impos
CMJ show at 285 Kent.
What?
They played an Impos show at 285 Kent, which is really interesting.
Which one? I was going to talk about the one at the Woods during the day like 4 years ago when everything was all cracked out.
Yeah, that was the last time we decided to do a day show at CMJ.
That was weird.
And the lineup was insanely good.
But everyone was so hungover and just dying. And yeah.
I don't remember that.
That was the one where we had to leave town immediately after we played. We played first. Remember? Isn't that the one?
Yeah, I think you guys did.
We played second or first.
Yeah, too many enemies that
were. And we had to go. We had to drive to like Baltimore or Montreal or something. Like we had to leave that night because we had a show in another faraway town. It was a Sunday.
We asked you the three questions. We should have queued that up for them before they came in. Do you remember that? Do you guys remember answering the three questions we had? One of them was, would you rather be eaten by a shark
or win the lottery?
Or win the lottery.
Yeah, you filmed Andy. I think I was
killed it
feeling,
in those questions.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, yes. I mean, that would have been like a time capsule in... Oh, well.
God. It exists somewhere on the interweb. We'll find that. But these guys got to get going
Brooklyn
to Silent Web.
Memories.
But you guys did play. I think it was Brooklyn. With Tearest. And I think, I don't know. There was a show that you guys did at 285 that we booked. But
I forget.
It's all a blur.
I was looking it up the other night. Like, in between my solo project, Iola, and Tonstart's Bandit, played at 285 like a dozen times.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the side project, but I figured, you know, we're condensed on time. I figured to make
also,
it.
Also, shout out to Andy Boy, Andy's side project.
What's up, that's me.
They're both really sick.
Fully nude.
He is right fully now. Nude. It's not as disturbing as you'd think, though. I'm actually
Why would it be disturbing?
It.
So we got to go.
All right. Well, Tom Star and Brent have to go to Silent Park. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. This was fun. We'll have you on again.
Please come back.
Yeah, yes. I have more answers to more questions. So,
and we're going to start playing All Right, and then we might have to cut it off if Morgan calls in. But
it's okay.
But Guys, thank you.
You're yeah. welcome. Yeah. Thanks,
thanks for having us,
good
guys.
Luck. Peace.
Peace. Bye.
That was All Right by Ton Stark Band. This is
Ton Stark Band.
I know. I keep wanting to throw two S's. I keep wanting to throw them in there.
So just don't even think about it. Ton Stark Band.
Ton Stark Band. But there's two S's.
Anyway,
they just joined us recently. They just left. That was really good. They were fun. That was a really good interview.
Now we talk about government and marijuana and medical cannabis.
Is government really what we're talking about?
Yeah, in a way, it's been a big week for both governors of New Jersey and New York. Christie's in trouble for the Bridgegate thing, and Cuomo just did his State of the State this afternoon, and one of the planks of his State of the State is this medical marijuana initiative. And speaking with us about the medical marijuana initiative is Morgan Fox from the Marijuana Policy Project. Morgan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks. So could you sort of break down for our listeners what the governor is doing and how exactly it's supposed to work?
Basically, what Governor Cuomo is trying to do is revive a program that was in operation from 1980 to 1985, whereby people with certain serious illnesses would be able to get marijuana from up to 20 New York hospitals. The problem with this is that it's more symbolic than it is actually useful. In fact, the program itself is pretty unworkable these days. It requires the state to work directly with the National Institute of Drug Abuse to be able to get the marijuana for individual patients, which it is fairly loath to do. It requires the DEA to handle all aspects of processing and delivery, including up to giving it to the patient. It requires the FDA to actually come up with research parameters for each and every patient, which requires a very large amount of money. And that money has to be put up by the state through an operations bill passed by the legislature because it's not a self-operating industry. So it's basically like no patients are actually going to be protected from arrest and provided with safe access to their medicine through this this therapeutic research program. However, you know, we have seen the legislature talking about that, you know, considering the bills that were introduced last year again, that would actually create a workable system. So we're hoping that lawmakers will take this as sort of a cue from the governor to institute a workable program rather than just saying, well, we've got this, now we can forget about this issue.
So, I mean, this initiative is essentially like, what, 20-some-odd years old. Was it sort of enacted at the time? I mean, did patients receive medical marijuana 20-some-odd years ago when this first sort of was created?
I'm not sure how many patients actually were able to take advantage of it during that time period. I would think that any patient that was involved in the federal investigative new drug study that lives in New York would have had to get it through that particular system as a way to make the state be able to work with the federal government. The problem is that federal program has been closed for many years, and they've not been accepting any new applicants. There are only actually four people left still alive on the program who get marijuana from the federal government.
Right. Has Cuomo, did Cuomo consult whatsoever with the federal government or these hospitals or any of the other sort of agencies or mechanisms that are necessary for this program to work? Because it sounds like it's pretty complex and onerous, not just some, you know, loophole he can sort of just, you know, run through.
I can't say for sure, but I would think not. What it seems to me is that this was a law that was already in effect, or at least was, you know, already on the books. So Cuomo couldn't do it executively without it passing through the legislature. You know, this was something that he was actually capable of doing right away. Whether or not he consulted with how useful it would be, I think is, you know, up for debate. But my guess would be that, you know, the federal government was not consulted because, you know, aside from allowing state medical marijuana programs to operate, they haven't really wanted to get involved in those programs themselves. You know, we're kind of lucky that they haven't been enforcing federal marijuana law against them at this point.
Right. So, you know, is this really just a way to, I guess, prod the state legislature forward, you know, to passing something? Or is this really, I mean, is he really putting this forward as a workable plan? Or is it more of like a stopgap until the legislature finally just throws up their hands and says, okay, well, if the governor's going to do this anyway, we might as well step in and sort of flex our muscle and create a plan that will actually help people?
I think that's a really tough question. It's possible that it was done to spur the legislature legislature into action as a sort of a way to, you know, get the ball rolling, despite the fact that there were several people already considering it. Maybe the legislature just needed that extra kick to say that, all right, we've got gubernatorial support, maybe we should be able to move forward on this without, you know, having to worry about getting vetoed. You know, another option is that this is just sort of a stopgap to, you know, stop the issue from coming up. You know, it's sort of like throwing people a bone.
Right.
It could also be used just for publicity, just because, you know, every politician that's been, you know, reading the newspaper or the internet or watching television has seen that, you know, opening sales of marijuana for adults and, you know, a regulated retail system is all over the place right now. It's all anybody's talking about. So smart politicians will be, you know, hitching their horse to this wagon really quickly.
Let me change it up a little bit because you just mentioned it. And you know, I don't want to pry too much about what you guys are focusing on, but is the legalization of recreational marijuana in places like Colorado and Washington, does that adversely affect your agenda?
No, not at all. We're trying to make it so that, you know, adults do not get arrested for marijuana. We're also trying to make sure that in places where we can't do that, at the very least, the seriously ill won't be arrested for using marijuana and that they'll be provided with safe access through some legal regulated means. You know, these, I think, are two you know, very, very separate ideas and distinct, and each are supported on their own merits. But I also think that when people see that marijuana can be regulated for adults in a very, very straightforward and a very controlled manner, then at the very least there's no excuse for them denying that to the seriously ill.
So on the federal level, do you think that we're ever going to see, I mean, I'm assuming in our lifetime we'll see a shift towards, if not complete regulation or even making it legal like it is in certain places, medical marijuana. Do you see on a federal level any shift being like
taking it off the Schedule I status that it already is now?
You know, I don't really see the federal government taking too much time to reschedule marijuana. I think that they're just going to flat out end federal marijuana prohibition by 2019 after a certain number of other states have already, you know, led the way on that. And at that point, it'll be treated much like, you know, alcohol or tobacco and may even be controlled by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. You know, this will allow individual states to determine what policies work best for them without fear of federal interference. You know, so some states might do as Colorado and Washington have done, where they make it legal for adults 21 and over and have it taxed and regulated similarly to alcohol. Some states might only allow the seriously ill to use it and still contain or keep some sort of criminal penalties against you know, non-medical users. And some states might not adopt either for a very, very long time. But once the federal government's out of the way, then states will be able to figure out what works best for them without that you know, threat hanging over their heads.
You mentioned, you know, politicians seeing the sort of success or rather, you know, Colorado and Washington State aren't in flames right now because of, you know, the legalization. Are you seeing politicians sort of approaching MPP and saying, hey, you know, educate me on this because this is something that I should probably seriously consider making part of my platform? Or, I mean, are you seeing an uptick in just general interest on their part? Are they coming to you guys asking for help more now than they were before?
Well, I can't speak from the lobbying angle,
right,
but I do know that you know, the media has been doing an excellent job at educating lawmakers about this issue. But yeah, I mean, for the last couple of years, we've been approached pretty heavily by lawmakers, and I think that's only going to increase, particularly as the legislative sessions for 2014 start to ramp up.
I know that the support is over 50% nationwide. I tried to look for this number this week. Are you aware of the poll numbers for New York State specifically for decriminalization or legalization?
Not off the top of my head, but they're available at mpp.org.
Okay. Cool. I mean, you figure, so Cuomo, everyone anticipates that he is building his bona fides for like a run for president. But this seems to me as a sort of a step backwards, right? I mean, the trend has only been going up in terms of support for legalization or support for decriminalization or support for, you know, a wider plan for medical marijuana. Why would he sort of peg his futures to something so narrow and something? I mean, obviously he abandoned the decriminalization measure he was pushing for the past 2 years. I mean, why do you think he took this narrow of an approach when really he could have gone, you know, a little bit further?
Well, I'm not sure that he realized that it was an unworkable plan when he decided to make that announcement. you know, or I'm not sure that he realized that people were going to realize it was unworkable.
Right.
You know, I think that maybe he's just playing it safe. And a lot of politicians, particularly ones trying for the bigger jobs, are still stuck in that mindset where if they admit that they're going to be interested in reform and softening penalties for any sort of drugs, that they'll be labeled soft on crime and then somehow that's a career killer. Well, that's just not the case anymore. But a lot of career politicians are stuck in that mindset still. And very quickly, they're going to see that it's not the case anymore when their opponents who are willing to embrace this issue start beating them in elections.
So where do you see this playing? I mean, how do you see this playing out? I mean, do you see this plan actually getting implemented and then, you know, the same sort of delays and sort of stopgaps that New Jersey and Connecticut have seen? Or do you see this getting scrapped by the legislature in favor of something, you know, more expansive? Or like, how do you see this playing out in the next year or so?
Well, I'd like to see the legislature immediately start to consider the bills that are carrying over from the last session in both the Assembly and the Senate. It's received pretty wide support in the Assembly, but has yet to be given a fair consideration in the Senate. And I think that this might be the year where that happens. You know, I hope that they don't waste time trying to make the therapeutic research program work, or try to bend it so that it's more effective, because it's really just an outdated model. There are much more rigorous and well-tested modern medical marijuana systems that have been at work in 20 states for many years. So there's absolutely no reason for them to waste time doing that. I hope that they realize it, and I think that they will, given the amount of legislative support that we've seen in the past. I think this is going to start moving forward pretty quickly.
Cool. Well, Morgan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we're hopeful. We're hopeful. I think the measure that Cuomo has raised is probably going to make it tough, just because I can't see a lot of legislators want to enact something that's going to cost their constituents more, or their more money.
What do you
mean? Oh yeah, I mean, when you look at the tax revenue and the job creation that comes along with a regulated medical marijuana system for cultivation and distribution. Compare that to actually having to spend money for a program that's barely going to help anybody and is exorbitantly expensive. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we're hopeful. We're hopeful.
Morgan Fox with the Marijuana Policy Project, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And thanks for having me.
Take care. So, yeah, that's kind of a bummer.
Well, what burned me, and I wrote a piece on it yesterday, but it burned me because, 2 years ago, Cuomo came out and he said, there's a disproportionate amount of people of color being arrested for low-level amounts of marijuana. It's a waste of our taxpayer money. It's a waste of our criminal justice system. It's state, instituted racism, and we should stop it. So I'm going to decriminalize amounts, 25 grams and below in public view. And he said, he meant all of these things. And then earlier this week, he just completely cast them all. He was just like, oh, it's not a problem anymore. Like, it was more relevant last year, is what he said, but it was such a nakedly political reason that it really shocked me, because it's like, this has been a problem for decades, and he actually, this would have been, if he wanted to sort of, grab this liberal mantle or this progressive mantle, instead of, having this like Bill Clinton centrism triangulation bullshit, which is what I think it is.
No, I agree.
And that was what was so shocking to me.
Well, that's what I was...
Maybe I'm just naive, but I was
That's what I was referring to at the end that I so uneloquently said, is that I feel like the way he presented it was a way to, like, pad pockets of more of the conservative-leaning folks, meaning, like, you're going to see health insurance companies get involved and be able to charge for all of those services. You're going to see, the different companies, whether it's police or law enforcement, that have to get paid in order to do these things. And I think that's kind of like you said, the very centrist way of looking at it, like, okay, well, we're going to do something progressive, but at the same time, we got to line the pockets of the people who are more on the right side of it.
Or just it's not even – not like you know – like Morgan was saying, it doesn't really do anything. It's just a total symbolic wave at this, and just a reason for him to have a newspaper say Cuomo and marijuana and legalization in the same headline, without any sort of consideration of what this program will actually do to help people.
You know, this makes me think further, and I'm from upstate New York. I'm from Buffalo. I think the state needs to kind of start looking at itself as two different entities, because I do feel like most of...
You're a believer in the New York City secession movement?
I'm not really in secession, but like most of the Republican or the right-leaning constituents.
Hold on, let me. We should have pronounced that secession. We both fucked that up.
Well, I just
wanted to correct myself. All right, anyway, secession.
It's because of the tax, you know, the tax threshold that New York City kind of like thumps on the rest of the state. So when you think of like these,
wait, hold on, explain that more. What do you mean?
I just mean that like there's so many things that we're taxed for, like public transit and places, that things that like, you know, we put into state budgets that ultimately are just strictly for the city.
Right.
But on something like this that seems universal, like I'm sure I could go back home to Buffalo and 90% of my friends would be like, yeah, I'm totally for it. But they're looking at it from a Republican, Democratic, or right-left point of view. I think if that's the case, you know, I'm a pro Cuomo guy, but it seems like in this case he is. It's more of like trying to create a presidential platform.
I mean, Cuomo has robbed the MTA's, you know, fund.
But that's placating mostly to the.
I know, upstate. But fuck that. You know, I'm this isn't.
But I mean, I can see it from the other point of view. If you're living in Buffalo, making like $40,000 a year, it's like, well, why do I have to pay a tax that's going to go towards like making sure that the MTA is at a reasonable price for people going to work in New York? My gas prices are still the same as theirs. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we're subsidizing things in Buffalo. We're not immediately aware of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I will say, though, that he pegged this decriminalization thing as such a New York City issue, but if you look at the NYCLU did this report, it's like blacks are 7, 8, 9 times more likely to be arrested than white people for marijuana all over the state.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's not just New York City.
I bet you it's higher when you get outside of New York City.
It's not higher. Kings County in Brooklyn is the highest, has the most marijuana arrests of any county in the country, and black people are 9 times more likely to be stopped, more than 9 times more likely to be stopped and arrested for marijuana than white people. But the thing is, it's like that trend, while it's not that high, you can see it in almost every county in New York State. So it's like this wasn't just affecting... You know, this wasn't just about stop and frisk. This was about a problem that was affecting his entire state that he just basically shrugged off because he felt that he could. You know?
If he had a pair of balls, he'd be like the governor of New Jersey, and he would just put his foot down and say, you know what? We're going to cause a traffic jam.
You know what? We're not. Yeah, we're only going to open one booth over the bridge, and that's that. No, that's a crazy story.
It is.
People are going to be talking about that for a really long time.
And we'll probably talk about it next time.
We'll probably talk about it next time.
Because we're out of time.
We'll get a Chris Christie impersonator next week.
So we're not going to go imbibe in medical marijuana because it's not legal.
Of course not.
So
we'll never do that.
In that case, we'll do something else and talk
we'll
to you guys.
We'll eat some pizza.
Yeah, we'll eat pizza and talk to you guys next week. Thanks, Chris.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.